Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather this afternoon in your name, we ask you, Lord, that you'd open our hearts and our minds to your word, that you would speak to us through your word this afternoon, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So chapter 6, Judges, the Israelites disobeyed God, as we're going to find out here, became oppressed by the Midianites. For some of you have already read this chapter, you probably have seen that. The Midianites ruled them for 7 years. 7 years. After crying out to the Lord, God raised up a man by the name of Gideon. He's a young man. He's from the tribe of Manasseh. God raised him up to deliver his people. Gideon, being fearful and doubting, as we're going to find out, is called by the angel of the Lord and is given a sign that God will be with him. And Gideon also, he appears approximately 40 years after Deborah and Barak. So Gideon is the fifth judge in Israel. He's the fifth judge, right? God used him to free Israel from oppression, from the Midianites, who were very wicked, evil people, them and the Amalekites. And he actually gave him a nickname, right? It says he was given the name Zerubbabel, right? Which means let Baal, the false god, contend against him. So real quick, chapter 6, 7, and 8, okay? Chapter 6, 7, and 8, again, are about this man, Gideon. That's who we're going to be reading about. Today we're just doing chapter 6. Next week we'll do 7 and 8, okay? Chapter 6, okay, is about Gideon's development of faith as God chooses him, okay? As God raises him up, this is about developing his faith, this chapter. Chapter 7 is about the testing of his faith, right? God's going to test him of his faith, like he tests us as well, right? In our faith. The Bible says that God will test our faith during situations. And then in chapter 8, still about Gideon, but unfortunately, it's about faith failures in chapter 8 because Gideon doesn't end up well. He ends up not very good servant at the very end, and not like the other judges. So this is what we're going to go through these next couple of weeks. Why don't we go ahead and we'll jump right in. Chapter 6, verse 1. So remember, the judge dies, and here, this is what we see, right, in verse 1. This has been the story of this book, right? God raises up a judge, the people to deliver them, and the people get back on the program, but as soon as the judge dies, they rebel again. It goes on here for 400 to 450 years, approximately, of the same thing. It's a cycle. And it says right here in verse 1, it says, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. See, the judge dies, here we go again. You'll see this pattern. It says, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves dens, the caves, and strongholds, which are in the mountains. So they flee to the mountains, right? Looking for cover. It says, so it was, whenever Israel had sown, planted, gardened, the Midianites would come up, also the Amalekites, another wicked group, and the people of the east would come up against them. Verse 4, it says, then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no substance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. So they're wiping out everything they have. All right, or they had. Verse 5, for they would come up against their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number. There's a lot of people that are doing this to them. And they would enter the land to destroy it. So they came down and destroyed the land, right? So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. 7 years later, it took them 7 years to cry out to the Lord. Hopefully, if you're in trouble, it doesn't take you that long, right? In verse 7, it says, "And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage,'" verse 9, "'and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all those who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land.'" Verse 10 says, "Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice." Let's stop there. So we notice right here, as we're reading this, that they cried out to the Lord. I don't know if you noticed, but there was no repentance. It was more of crying and suffering. "Oh, the Midianites, Lord, the Midianites are doing this." Nothing like, "Lord, we have disobeyed you. We rebelled against you. We're sorry. Please save us." No, there's no true repentance. So the Lord is giving it to him and telling him at the end here, "You have not obeyed my voice. This is the reason why this is happening to you." Yeah, it took him 7 years. I'm going to stop here for a minute. Just so verse, as we went over, verse 3 and 5, you can tell that these Midianites and the Amalekites, they were very wicked people. They would burn all their crops, destroy everything Israel had, and just do really mean things to Israel, just making their life awful on them. The Midianites had a beef with Israel from years prior. They never got along. And now this was their chance. They got together with the Amalekites and they went in and they were just making things terrible for them. But because of their disobedience, God let them come and do this to them. Right? But it says the Israelites, as we read, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And God allowed the Midianites to oppress them for 7 years. So again, there's discipline from the Lord, right? Like the scriptures say, God will discipline his children, right? He will discipline his children, right? The Midianites stole the Israelites' livestock and crops every year. They would go down and steal all their crops, right? The people of Israel cried out to God for help, and God sent a prophet, right? He sent a prophet and to them and to rebuke them of their disobedience. The prophet's not named. I'm not sure who the prophet is, but God does. He sent them, and all we need to know, a prophet came and rebuked them for their behavior. So let's go ahead. We'll keep continuing here. I'm going to read right down through verse 24. We'll pick up in verse 11. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord," this is the Lord himself, "came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah," not Oprah, but Ophrah, "which belonged to Gideon," belonged to Joash, which is Gideon's father, the Ebenezerite, "while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him," to Gideon, "and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.' Gideon said to him, 'Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.' And the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?'" Verse 15, "So he said to him," to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Stop there for 1 minute. This man, right? We see this pattern throughout the scriptures. God loves raising up the weak. Okay? So if you're weak, you qualify. Okay? He loves doing this. Why? Because they have to rely on him. He's not looking for the smartest and the toughest guy in the group. He's looking for the weakest one that he can raise up. The other reason why God does this is because he doesn't want this man to take the glory, right? He wants him to know, you could have never done this without me. So this man, this is why Gideon's saying this. He goes, why me? Remember Moses said the same thing? We read about that. Moses, don't send me, Lord. I'm not a good speaker. Pick my brother Aaron. He can talk a lot better than me, right? He took Moses because he wasn't the best speaker. He had to become the best, one of the best leaders. Here we got another same thing here. He's raising up this man, Gideon. So let's go ahead. It says right here, verse 16. And the Lord said to Gideon, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign. Right? Moses did the same thing, right? Show me a sign. The lack of faith, that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. So Gideon, he wants to go get an offering for him. All right? You stay right here. I'll be right back. I'm going to get an offering. All right? And the Lord said, I will wait until you come back. So Gideon went and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in the pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread, lay it on top of the rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock, and he consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. That would be enough for me right there to be a believer. Right? I'm in. We can do this, Lord. It says, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Verse 22, now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. We see that a lot in the scriptures, right? Do not fear. You shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it the Lord is peace. To this day, it is still an Ophrah of Abiezerites. Let's stop here for a minute. Abiezerites. That's another tongue twister. So Gideon, right? The fifth judge. So the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon, which is the Lord himself in his pre-incarnate state. Okay? Like a Christophany. Okay? That we never see this after Jesus was born. Okay, in the flesh. This is all Old Testament. He would always appear as an angel of the Lord, as a Christophany. Okay? So he's here. The Lord is here. This is Jesus standing before him. Pre-incarnate Jesus. Okay? And he went to Ophrah, it says. He found this man, Gideon, threshing wheat in the wine press to keep it hidden from the Midianites. Right? He was hiding his stuff, because these people were so brutal. It says, the angel of the Lord told Gideon, the Lord was with him. He said, I'm going to be with you. Don't you worry. I know you're weak. I'm strong. We're going to do this, right? But Gideon, he wasn't so sure. He wanted a sign, right? He asked the messenger why God allowed the Midianites to oppress him, the prophet, to oppress Israel if he was on their side. So he has doubts about this. Even though the Lord just did this, consumed his offering that he brought to him, it still wasn't enough for him, right? God didn't give him a direct answer. He just told Gideon, he says, you're going to save Israel from the Midianites. Trust me, right? Gideon had no idea how he was going to do this, and God assured Gideon that he would give him victory. So he wants Gideon to place his faith in him, in God, right? I want you to place your faith in me to do this, to save these people. But Gideon, again, like I said, he wasn't convinced, so he asked the Lord to show him a sign to assure that it was him, that he was really God. He was an angel of the Lord, right? Who was choosing him to do the job. He is kind of acting like Moses, like, you sure you want to pick me, Lord? I'm like, we're from the weakest tribe. We're the smallest tribe, and I'm like the weakest man. And God said, yeah, I know, exactly. That's why I chose you. That's exactly why I chose you, right? So, God, like we read, God instructed Gideon to put the meat, bread, and broth nearby on the rock, right? When he was done doing this, God touched the rock with his staff, and fire came out of the rock, consumed the food. Pretty amazing, huh? All right. After seeing the sign, Gideon looked back to the Lord, and he had vanished, just like that. Remember in Joshua, we read in the book of Joshua when it said, we read the angel of the Lord showed up to battle with Joshua. He said, I'm here to deliver you, right? And it was Jesus himself, pre-incarnate, that went in and wiped out Jericho. All he said is, remember we read that? You guys just march around. I'm going to give you victory, right? That same Jesus, pre-incarnate, okay? It's the Lord. So we'll go ahead and continue here. We're going to pick up on verse 25. I'm going to read down to 32. 1 minute. So it says in verse 25, now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, you see, the Lord said to him, right? Take your father's young bull, the second bull of the 7 years old, which is kind of interesting, right? They were oppressed for 7 years. He's telling them, I don't know if it has anything to do with it, but it's kind of something. Take a second bull, 7 years old. Kind of interesting. Maybe nothing there, I don't know. And he says, and tear down the altar of Baal, the false god, that your father has. And cut down the wooden image, Ashtaroth, that was right next to it, that is beside it. And build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement, right? And take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it during the day. He didn't want to do this during the day. It says he did it by night. So he's still unsure. He's nervous. He's like, hey, I'm going to take 10 men with me. We're going to do this. But Lord, I don't want to do this during the day. We're going to do this at night. How's that? Is that okay? The Lord must be going like this. Oh, you of little faith. You just saw what I did with that food, right? I mean, right? We hear Jesus, right, all throughout the New Testament, telling all his disciples. These are disciples. These are people who have been with him. He says to them, oh, ye of little faith. Right? You guys read that? He's always telling them, oh, he's, right? Peter was walking on the water, got all nervous, fell through. Jeez. Oh, Peter. Oh, such little faith. So let's pick up here, 10 minutes. It says, I did it by night. Verse 28. It says, and when the men of the city arose early in the morning, the next morning after they did this, there was the altar of Baal torn down, and the wooden image that was beside it was cut down. And the second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. Verse 29. So they said to one another, who has done this thing? Gideon probably ran pretty quick. And when they had inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done these things. Then the men of the city said to Joash, Gideon's father, bring out your son that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal, the false god, and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it. Verse 31. But Joash, I like this. I like this right here. But Joash said to all who stood against him, would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death by this morning. If he is God, Baal, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down. Therefore, on that day, he called him Zerubbabel, okay? Called Gideon that, saying, let Baal plead against him because he torn down the altar. So let's stop here for a minute. You see what Joash is saying to all those people that want to kill his son? He says, hey, you guys believe in this false god here, Baal. He should be able to protect himself, right? You guys call him God. I know he's a branch. He looks like a tree. He doesn't say anything, but you guys believe he's God. He should be able to defend himself. Calls him right out. Right, so it says that night that God told Gideon to tear down his father's idols. So his father was part of this. Stuck up for his son. Right, the idols, Baal and Asherah, the other wooden image. And in their place, he said, right, Gideon was to build an altar to the true God. That's what he's doing. He says, you're going to put up an altar to the one and only true eternal God. Right? And you're going to offer a bull using the wood from Asherah. So he says, take that wooden image that you cut down, throw that in the fire. Right? The next morning, right, the men of the city discovered what had been done, and they wanted Gideon to be put to death. They wanted him to be put to death, right? Gideon's father dismissed their demands, telling them again, hey, if Baal is real, if he's a real God, he could fight for himself. Really making them look stupid, right? I mean, they probably didn't know what to say after that. It was probably pretty silent. All right, let's go continue on. We're going to pick up in verse 33. We're going to read 33 and 34. It says, then all the Midianites and Amalekites, the people of the east, gathered together. So all gathered together, and they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. Okay? But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Look out. Then he blew the trumpet, right? And the Ebiezerites gathered behind him, and he sent messages throughout all of Manasseh, who also gathered behind him. He also sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. So let's just stop here for a minute. So Midian, right? So they all get together, these people, all the Midianites and all the Amalekites, to destroy them. But then Gideon gets some others together to go against them. If God wasn't with them, they would have been toast, right? It says all the Midianites, right? The people from as far, right? People of the east, they all gathered at the Valley of Jezreel, right? It says Gideon gathered up other men, these Ebezerites here, and fighting men from Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali. So all these men did come and help out, right? So let's pick up and read these last few verses. It says in verse 36, so Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. So just for a minute, stop there. You see what he's doing? Again, his faith, right? God is trying to develop his faith in him, right? He's like, come on, Gideon, I'm being patient here. He's trying to bring him along. He's developing his faith because he's going to have to battle as we get into next week's chapters. So he's building his faith. But Gideon, being weak, shallow faith, he's not sure. I don't know. Is God really going to help me in this or what? Right? He's doubting, right? So now he's asking God, hey, can I get another sign here? Right? Can I get another sign here, Lord? How about we play a little game? Can you imagine the Lord's thinking, right? He's like, man, get in. You are a piece of work, right? Well, we're all a piece of work, right? We're all work in progress, we say, right? Some just take longer than others, right? So he says that to the Lord, right? I'm going to put this fleece on the ground, and if I wake up and there's dew on it and it's dry all around, oh, I'm going to know you're with me, Lord. Kind of a crazy thing. So it says, when Gideon rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Okay, so he gets up, goes to his fleece, grabs it. Sure, it looked wet. Brings it out, get a whole bowl. Whoa, Lord. And everything else is dry around it. So God did. He said, okay, there you go, Gideon. How about now? You believe? Well, he doesn't. Look at this. Verse 39. Then Gideon said to God, don't be angry with me, but I want another sign. Right? Boy, I hope you guys don't do this. Don't be angry with me, Lord. I don't know. I'm not really trusting in you. But let me speak just once more, he says. Then look at this, what he says. Let me test. Now, the Bible says, right, don't test the Lord. Don't tempt him. Don't test him. Okay? This is how merciful and gracious and patient God is, right? I mean, he is just saying, all right, get in. We're going to play these games. Until you believe, right? So here you go. He says, I just once more with the fleece, he says, let it now be dry only on the fleece. But all around the ground, let there be dew. So let's try this again, Lord. Can I get another sign, right? This is a brave fella. That too. Good one. Exactly. Very dumb. All right. And look at verse 40, last verse. Look what it says, right? And God did so that night. He says, okay, we'll play another game, Gideon. So he did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only. But there was dew all around the ground. So let's talk about this for a minute. Oh, I don't know. We have here, again, like I said, chapter 6. God's trying to develop this man's faith. This is what this chapter is all about, right? Maybe when we first started walking with the Lord, we were the same way. We just didn't ask for a sign, right? But our faith was, we were just walking with the Lord, right? When we first started, we weren't deeply rooted in Christ. Until we saw things in our life, God's fingerprints all over them, right? Like this 27-year-old girl that we were just talking about who God healed overnight from a stroke and abnormalities in her heart, and the doctors were amazed. They said, I don't know. All the tests came back perfect, and you're doing great. This is a girl rooted in Christ. She told them prior to this, I'm going to be fine. God's with me. And then tells him after, I told you so. That's someone deeply rooted in Christ. Gideon isn't there yet. It's his baby steps. Gideon. He's what you call, he's got, I wouldn't say pseudo faith, right? Which is fake and foolish. He's got more like shallow faith. You know? Kind of like, I don't know. I don't know. God, send me another sign. One of those type things. You know? But God's merciful and he's patient. Right? That's the Lord we serve. You remember when Moses asked God, he said, God, tell me exactly who you are. In Exodus chapter 34, he says, I want to know who you are and what you stand for. Basically, he's telling him, I want to know. And God gives him seven characteristics of himself. right? He said, I'm merciful. That was the first thing. I'm merciful, Moses. That's amazing. I'm gracious, Moses. I'm long-suffering, which means I'm patient, right? And I abound in truth. I abound in goodness. I am a forgiving God. And then he tells Moses at the end, but I'm also a righteous and just God. And by no means will I clear the guilty without coming to Christ. So yes, I am loving, forgiving, merciful, gracious, but by no means will I clear the guilty because I'm a righteous and just judge. Right? And that's what Psalms 7:11 says. Psalm 7:11. God said, I am a just judge. I'm going to judge the world in righteousness. There ain't going to be any of these sweeping sins under the rug and looking the other way. Not with God. Right? Psalm 97:2 says righteousness, right? Righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. Right? So yes, he is patient. You know, he's gracious, he said, right? I'm merciful, gracious. I'm patient, abounding in goodness, abounding in truth. I'm forgiven. He says, but remember, Moses, I'm also just. And he's being very patient with this man, Gideon, right? It says when, right, he laid the wool fleece on the ground. He asked God to cover the fleece with dew, let the surrounding be dry. God did it. Next day he said, I want to do this again, Lord. How about we reverse it? And God did. Because he's going to use this man for his glory. So he's being patient with him. All right, and the next day, the next morning, the fleece was dry and the ground surrounding was wet. So he did exactly what Gideon asked for. And this ends chapter 6, to be continued next Thursday. We'll go over chapter 7 and 8 next week, but let's close in prayer and we'll have a discussion. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this afternoon, Lord, on developing our faith, how we should trust in you, that if we belong to you, we're children of yours, that you're going to see us through. And just like you're going to see through this man Gideon, which you did already, and you're going to raise him up for your glory. And we thank you for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.